When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to Matt Chat, everybody. I have a very, very, very fun episode for you guys. You may know him from TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, just anywhere around the internet. Stinky Asher. Asher, thank you so much for coming on and talking about Survivor with me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love Survivor, all things reality TV, Survivor especially. And so I can talk about it all day, any day.
Well, I'm so stoked. I would love, like, I think last time I had you on, I also asked you, like, kind of what got you in. But for those who don't know, because your content is mainly, like, comedy, like, parodies, yeah. Things like that. So I didn't really know until, you know, I saw one specific Survivor thing that you were a Survivor fan. How long have you been watching the show? Like, what do you love about the show?
I have been watching the show at least over probably 10 years live now. I think I remember the first season I saw was Cagayan. And I just sort of, like, on my, like, I don't even remember the VCR. I don't remember what we had back in the day, but I remember watching that and being like, this is really cool. And then I started watching live with my mom at Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. And then we watched like every season up until like 40 together. And then, yeah, I've never missed an episode since.
So. Love
and
that.
And I've seen every episode, every single season before that too. I've seen every single season.
You are in it. Okay. I do like, was that a thing? So this was something, I wasn't a fan of Survivor until after I graduated from college. And uh-huh. Then I found out afterwards that like a lot of college campuses have like Survivor, like, uh-huh. Like LRGs or, you know, whatever else. Is that something that like you had at your school or did you
know
that?
I am so sad. So I went to Penn. Penn did not have a Survivor on campus. And trust me, I wanted there to be, I actually looked before I even applied to Penn. I was like, do we have a Survivor thing on campus? Because I was watching like Survivor Maryland or like, literally I was so obsessed. And I actually, it's funny that you mentioned that though, because I would play like Survivor on like Instagram DMs and Zoom, like during like COVID and in high school and stuff. Like I was in it. But no, Penn did not have a Survivor club. However, I did host Survivor nights every single Wednesday for all 4 years.
Iconic. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, Penn, you got to get some Survivor LRGs.
Right?
Come on.
We've got great alumni from yeah. the school on the show. Why do we not have a game at Penn? Come
get
on.
Get on it. Get on it. Well, season 49. I know season 49 has been kind of a mixed bag. People have been liking it. People have been, you know, not so much liking it. How are you feeling about the season overall so far?
So I think... For me, what's really important about a Survivor season is the cast. And I think the cast, especially the people that are still in, I really, really love. So that's what's keeping me like locked in every single Wednesday. I really want to see like how everyone places and what happens with everybody that I'm obsessed with. I think strategy-wise, the beginning was a little straightforward. Mm-hmm. So obviously I would have liked, you know, a few more blindsides, a few more idol plays. Yeah. The pre-merge could have been more fun. But I think it is starting to pick up a lot strategy-wise now, which is really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like, you know, we talked about this kind of right before we went live, but post-merge, I feel like it's gotten a lot more exciting.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot more. And I think it all just goes back to the disaster tribe of it all. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like we're over it. We need
I'm
one.
Over it. I'm over the three tribes. I'm
yeah.
over the three tribes. I did like that the season had two tribe swaps. I thought that was fun.
Agreed.
Love a tribe swap. It also is interesting to have, like, Sophie and Alex be, like, the only two from a tribe. It's always fun to, like, see how that plays out, and now like Sophie's the last survivor from her tribe. Yeah. And that part is cool, but like the three tribe thing needs to go away. I want two tribes of 10.
Yeah.
I want that so bad.
I do too.
So bad.
And it's interesting you bring up Sophie and Alex, because this was something that I was actually thinking about when I was rewatching the episode. It's so interesting that they didn't really talk about Sophie and Alex's relationship at all in this episode. They didn't bring up that they were the two remaining Kelly out of, you know, everybody. Everyone was gone. It's just them two. And then I also listened to Alex's exit interview, and Alex was really like, well, Sophie and I were kind of ops. We were kind of like not... we did not want to work together because we were fighting over Jake. And then when Jake got medevaced, we were kind of stuck working together. And so then when they were swapped, they're like, we can go find our lane. Were you also shocked that they didn't bring this up? And that, you know, Sophie was willing to vote Alex out?
Yeah, I thought that was a big moment in the storyline. Like, the whole beginning of the season was, you know, the Blue Tribe show, Sophie, Alex, all those people. And I feel like now that some of the bigger, you know, personalities have gotten introduced in the merge and stuff, we kind of lost the plot with Sophie and Alex a little bit, which is a shame because I'm obsessed with Sophie. I love her so much. And I thought it was a really big missed opportunity. Like, Sophie voted out Alex. That's a huge deal.
That's a huge deal.
I don't even think she addressed to the camera that she was going to vote out Alex. Yeah. That's a huge deal.
We didn't see that. We didn't hear that. It is kind of crazy that we didn't, you know, get any mention of that.
That made me upset. I'm like,
right?
Come on. Yeah.
I know, right?
The fallout.
Well, I know that you're a big Genevieve stan. Going to see her on season 50. Is Sophie your Genevieve of season 49, or is there somebody else who maybe is your Genevieve?
So I have four Genevieves this season.
Iconic. We love that.
Right. So that's why I'm like loving this season, because like I do really love a lot of the cast. So Sophie is my girl. She's from Miami. Special story about Sophie, actually. So I went to go follow her on Instagram, and she had already been following me. And I was like, oh my God, amazing. I went to follow her, and she DM'd me. She's like, she's from Miami. I'm from Miami too. She's like, I actually went up to you in person like 2 years ago on the street. And I was like, hi, I'm like a fan of your videos. It was just like episode one of the season. And I'm like, okay, you're my favorite immediately. I was already obsessed with you, but now I'm like, girl, come on. So
that's
she's been my
crazy.
Girl through and through. I know. And then I also love the other Sophie. And it's so funny too, because in episode one, when she got no content, I texted my friend. I'm like, watch out for other Sophie. I'm like, I see a queen when I see one. I know a queen. Sophie, watch out for her. And now I feel like she's getting the Genevieve edit where she's like,
she totally is.
Obviously, Savannah is that girl. Like, I'm obsessed with Savannah and Sage. Those are my four girls.
Honestly, absolutely could not go wrong. Like, yeah, winner after winner after winner. It's so funny. I actually recently saw a really wonderful edit on TikTok. People who do edits on TikTok are like incredible, talented, amazing, you know, roses. Yeah. I'm throwing roses like in 10 out of 10. But there was one that like kind of gave me goosebumps. And a lot of people have been comparing Savannah to Parvati in a lot of ways. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was the Parvati Savannah like edit. And if you guys haven't seen it, you need to go look it up. It is haunting, cinematic. It is gorgeous. Yep. It is 10 out of 10. Go look it up. Cause I got goosebumps watching it.
Me too. I'm an avid commenter on Survivor edits too. Like, the more niche the edits, the more I watch them. This one was so good too. They also threw in Amanda in there, and I think gave parallels to Sophie too. And I thought that was awesome. Yeah. That was a good edit.
Shout out to that person. I don't know who made it, but shout out to you. 10 out of 10. So, you know, we did get a good amount of Sophie. Speaking of Sophie content, both of them. And we actually saw them team up this past episode, because Sophie with an E, yellow Sophie, came back to camp, and everyone was shocked that she was still there. And she was like, wow. Okay, I see how it is. And one thing I love about Yellow Sophie with an E is that she is willing and able to call things out. She called out Jeff when it was fruit. She's going to call out people when
it's diet food.
I know. Not everyone would do that to Jeffrey's face.
No one.
And she just did it. And she continues to do this when people are not giving her the reaction she wants. Do you think that this kind of was maybe like a nail in the coffin for Alex and maybe even Christina? Or do you think that like is this really the turning point for Sophie? Or do you think that you've seen her kind of trying to go towards, you know, Sophie, Rizzo, and Savannah, but she just didn't have a reason to yet?
You know, I think Sophie, Yellow Sophie, is a very smart player. I think she was going to go where she felt she could work with people and she felt trusted. And I think she definitely trusted the Yellow Tribe. And then after they were like, oh my God, Sophie, you're back. Oh, cute, I guess. She was like, whoa, I need to reevaluate what's going on. And then Savannah, Sophie, and Rizzo are really smart into being like, hey, we're here. And I think Yellow Sophie's a very like opportunist player and knows where to go. And so I think absolutely the Yellow Tribe completely botched their handling on that situation. And if I was Sophie too, I would have switched sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
I also loved, this really stuck out to me, I really loved her comparison of like freshman floormates. Like, because I think that's something that a lot of people can really kind of understand where, you know, these are the people that you just, you don't know anybody here. You know, you're in a new place, you know, zero people. And so, yeah, I'm going to love my freshman floormates. I'm going to be like a freshman floor for life. And then you know, you're a sophomore and you find out different niches and different things and you go, oh, you know, yeah, we lived on the freshman floor together, but I haven't talked to them in like 4 years because you have people who you actually can find to like have your back. And I really liked that analogy that Sophie gave. And I'm excited to see how this move forward. It does seem like she, like Rizzo, Savannah, and Sophie with an I do want to work with her. It said on the next time on Survivor, I think it was actually a sneak preview. The four of them were sitting in the dark talking about what to do next. And I think that really shows that Sophie's gone. And I love that for her.
Me too.
Do you think that this is now going to be the four to look out for?
Oh, 100%. This is the core four. I think this is the group that takes over, and I couldn't be happier. Honestly, I love all of them, including Rizzo. And I hate men on Survivor. That's okay. I'm joking a little bit. I've loved Q. Like, there's a couple of men that I really do love. For some reason, I just like find it harder to root for them. I don't know why. I love Rizzo. I from episode one where he was cheating, I'm like, I have to give him his flowers. It's funny to watch. If I was on Survivor 2, I would cheat. You're supposed to cheat. Why don't people do it more? So I love his audacity. And I think he's also very smart. We're seeing in the last few episodes that he has a great grip on strategy. Mm-hmm. And he trusts his allies too. And I think they're actually working really, really well together. I don't sense like a competitive edge that one has over the other because they're all kind of on the bottom or they just were. So they were like trauma bonded together and like, we really got to stick together. And I see them working together very, very well.
Absolutely. We have this funny comment. I thought this was funny. You put blue and yellow Sophie together and you get green, meaning cash money.
Yeah. Agreed.
Agreed.
Love both of them.
Agreed. I do think that like them, I'm really glad you brought that up because that they were on the bottom because they were, I mean, Rizzo, Savannah, they were at the top of the Uli tribe. Yeah. They were like indestructible. They felt, and I think that is a really dangerous position to be in when you feel very comfortable in Survivor. And I think it's an inevitability. And I think Nate getting blindsided is one of the best things that could have happened to them as an alliance, because I feel like when you are, you know, when you feel bulletproof, you're not going to be as cautious. And that's when you get blindsided. And I feel like we saw that with Alex a little bit, you know, playing the middle. And I don't think he felt bulletproof, but do you think you can really play the middle when there are 9 people left in the game or how many? Yeah. 8 people left in the game.
I don't think you can play the middle. I think that especially in later seasons, you kind of do have to like draw your line in the sand. It's like, these are the people that I trust and I don't trust these people. I think you can be kind of flexible. You can be on like, you know, the outskirts of a group being like, I'm working with these people for now, but like, hey, if the time's right, I'll work with the other side. I think that is sort of how you play the middle correctly, but to be completely a free agent is never a good idea.
It's never a good idea.
You have no one on your side.
Exactly. Exactly. Who was going to fight for Alex in this episode? Like, who was willing to go to bat for Alex? Nobody.
Right.
Nobody. Right. And I think the closest he had was maybe Steven, because I do think that Steven and him got close at one point. But then Steven just got blindsided with MC because that was his closest person. I don't think he's going to be willing to lay down his game for somebody that's no longer his closest person because MC left, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's playing the middle is dangerous. Steven, I do want to talk about Steven a little bit here because I worry that Steven is now going to be the new Alex because he is liked by a lot of people. A lot of people are giving him information. It also seems like he is giving people information as well because we also saw Steven tell Sage about Christina's idol. He was trying to use the information, right? I get his why he was doing this. Do you think this ultimately is a good choice for Steven to like give an olive branch? No. You think this is coming back to bite him?
The more people that know about an idol, the worse it is. Mm-hmm. I do not understand this obsession with telling people about advantages. And I also want to talk about, you know, the new era more as a whole right now, because this has been a problem with the new era, is that the idols are so hard to find now because you have to like kind of rely on other people that they sort of become these big public idols. Rizzo's doing it the right way. And I kind of do like how he's using that idol. He's kind of doing like what Yule did when Yule won his season, where he's kind of using his idol as like a fear tactic thing. And I do like that approach. approach to it, but like, I miss the days of like, you have like a Wentworth idol where just no one knows about it. And you, like what Rachel did in 47, loved that. And you saw how good it played out for her. Like, we need just being able to find advantages and keep it a secret. The more people you tell, the less power that advantage has. So I think Steven telling Sage is not a good idea at all.
And also, this is actually really interesting because we got a confessional from Sage, and Sage said, you know what, I'm going to keep this to myself for now, but Juwan and I are a tight, tight duo, and I feel like I should tell him, but I'm not going to just yet because I don't think I should. Mm-hmm. We see on a scene from the, you know, the next episode that she actually does tell Juwan. It's actually a very funny scene. She's like saying, like, just tell everybody I'm super gassy, and I'm gassy. I'm so gassy I need to be away from everybody. That's how bad it is. But she wanted to strategize with Juwan, and she told Juwan about Christina's idol. I have a feeling this is all going to come to a head here. Not a blackhead, a head here. Because then Sage will put us in a jar, and I don't right. want to be put in a jar. And I think that we're going to see either Christina or Steven be on the other end of like this like chaos of information. Yeah. Do you think you could see that happening?
It's one of their times, which is really insane because it honestly, like, Rizzo should not still be in. Rizzo and Savannah, one of them should be out by now. That idol should have been played. It is crazy that they are still in the game and that idol has not gone away. But I think that's Sage and Juwan's fault. Mm-hmm. A little bit, because they have been kind of in, they've actually been playing the middle a little bit. And I think that they should have done something with the idol, but it's also so scary because if I was them, I'd also be terrified to vote out Rizzo, who has an idol, because it could be me. Yeah. So you never know until you're actually out there playing. But like, I think that Steven and Christina, something bad is coming their way. Something I fear that they are on the chopping block. Yeah.
Now, Rames over here in the chat brings up a really interesting point. So Sophie B not telling anybody about her knowledge is power is so good. And 100% agreed. Do you think that Sophie will be able to properly use the knowledge is power? Are we going to see the first time ever a knowledge is power, you know, work?
I would love that. I would love nothing more. I think she's going to have to find out about Christina's idol somehow. Maybe Juwan lets it slip or something. I think that would be an insane moment. And I would love that. But it would also raise Sophie's threat level so much. But like, this is kind of the point in the game where you do need to start making moves, and you do need to be threat. You do. Savannah's the biggest threat ever, and like, it's working for her. You know, you have to be a threat at this point. So, and I think Sophie, she has it in her. She'd use it.
She definitely has it in her. We've seen her kind of do some sneaky, interesting things in the past, and I definitely think that she has it in her. And I do think now is the time, right? You have how many vote outs until final three? Like four, maybe?
Right, four.
Something like that. So if not now, when? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, you can't play it safe on Survivor, especially with like all these like double tribals or like weird little like half the tribe votes or whatever. Like, you have to be able to show why you are a threat and why you deserve to win the game. And now is the time to do it.
Exactly. And if you think about it, she also doesn't have a ton of friends on the jury because none. Because she literally, the only person from her tribe is Alex, from her original tribe is Alex. And they weren't besties, right? He's not going to do any kind of defending of Sophie. I don't think that he hates her. She hates him. No. But they're not going to, go down swinging for each other.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of prove who you are here. Because if not, you're not going to have a Tiffany sitting on the jury or a Camilla sitting on the jury being like, go off. You're doing them great, sweetie. Like, no one's going to do that for Sophie because she just doesn't have anybody from her tribe here.
Right, right.
If Sophie sits at the end, like, do you think that there is a world in which she could win? Say, we're going to hypothesize or, come up with a fun little scenario. She plays a knowledge is power. It works out well. Let's just say she wins an immunity, just to throw that in there. And I know we've got a couple of episodes left. Do you think that there's a world in which she could sit and win the game?
100%. I fear if she's next to Savannah, though, or like a Rizzo, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Unless she can, because right now their perceived threat level is just higher than hers. And I think like people vote for the person at the end who has the highest threat level that made it to the end. I think that's what people are basing their Survivor vote on right now. Mm-hmm. And like, that's fine. I am a firm believer whoever wins the season deserves it no matter what. But I would love if Sophie could win. I think that would be an incredible underdog story. She's like the mm-hmm. modern day Denise. Like, I don't think we've had a new era contestant go to this many tribals before. No. So, and she has that going for her. She's played an incredible game. It's just for whatever reason, her threat level is not as high as Savannah and Rizzo's.
Yeah. It's very, very interesting. And I wonder why that is actually, as I think about it. And, you know, I will say, there is an interesting thing that we did not see in this episode. And one of the things that we did not see was that there was a schoolyard pick and they didn't air it. Mm. And which we don't see that often in the new era. There's a schoolyard pick for the reward. And I think a schoolyard pick is a really interesting tool to kind of expose where people's alliances are, where people, you know, what their thoughts are, who people think are strong, whatever else. But Sophie was not picked. As you mm-hmm. saw, she sat out. Right. And so she chose a team and she didn't end up winning. But I want to tell you exactly who picked who. I mean, I know that you saw. Rizzo was a captain and Christina was a captain. Okay. Rizzo chose first. He chose Juwan. And Juwan said, "Are you sure?" And the reasoning of this was Rizzo goes, "I'm going to win this challenge. And the reason why I'm picking you, Juwan, is because you need to eat." And that's mm-hmm. why he chose Juwan.
Okay.
Christina goes next. And apparently Christina, they said again. So I'm guessing Christina was also a captain once prior. And I don't think that we saw that. But then Christina chooses Sophie with an E first. And right. Christina says the reasoning is it's because I want to build trust with Sophie again. I feel like the trust is broken and this is a way for us to build trust. And then we cut to a confessional, Sophie going, "I've won an immunity challenge and I'm really, really good at challenges. That is not why you chose me. You chose me because I'm strong."
So I think she's one of the most dominant Survivor challenge beasts actually of all time. Because I think I saw a statistic that she was 10 for 10 out of the first 10 challenges.
Yeah, she's insane. And then I think she also, because she won immunity, she has one of the longest streaks in the new era. Or she has the longest streak of the new era for being immune.
I didn't know that.
So she's like strong. So Christina... Yeah. I love what you're trying to do here, but let's be real. You chose her
too little, too late.
Yeah,
right.
Incredibly strong.
Too little, too late, girl. No.
Rizzo then chooses Sage. Christina chooses Alex. Rizzo chooses Steven, and Christina chooses Savannah. So that's how it kind of landed. Do you think the way they chose this is exposing anything here, or do you think that this is just kind of, you know, people are going to forget about it by the next day? It's not really thought of too much.
You know, that it's interesting that Savannah was chosen last because she's also great at challenges. So there definitely is a little bit of that going into it because it's also like your winning team is going to be your team that you can communicate with and strategize without mm-hmm. the reward or versus mm-hmm. vice versa at the beach. So like there definitely is some of that at stake and in play. But like if I were one of the contestants, I don't think I would think too much into it. Like, it's like, at the end of the day, it's just it's a challenge. I don't know if it's that important.
I get that. I think that they need to do more schoolyard picks because I mm-hmm. think the more they do, the more it exposes. I think doing it once or twice a season is going to be kind of like, oh, we're just a reward, whatever. But I think the more you do it and make the rewards better.
Yes.
I'm begging you.
Yes.
Because imagine if this was like a spa reward and everybody could like go and eat some food, but also take a shower and relax in a bed and like whatever else. I don't know that Rizzo would have chosen Juwan first.
No, yeah, you would choose a friend for that. That's something that you would give a friend, or if it's like a loved one's letter reward.
Exactly.
That is tea. I love like when, we need to raise the stakes on these rewards because like Sophie says, this is diet food. Why am I going to bust my ass sweating, picking up these massive balls, boulders, whatever for a watermelon? I don't think so.
Exactly. And like, again, it was, you know, chicken and fries and whatever else it was. And I think Steven at one point was like, I would have done it just for the fries. And I get it. You're hungry. But I do think the better the reward, the more people want to win. And the more
upset they get.
Exactly.
When they don't win. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, I think when people say like they want like drama and villains back, I think we have villains. But I think we're not getting to see them at their true potential. Because, like, you know, imagine if it's everyone's family and Savannah doesn't get picked. You know, I feel like Savannah is going to burn everything down. If you know, so I feel like we have people who are willing to play villainous.
Interesting.
But what are the stakes?
Interesting. I'm a firm believer, villains just make a season. You need to have an antagonist in a show. And I don't even think Savannah's an antagonist because she's my favorite. Like, I love her so much. Like, I don't see the villain in her at all. I mean, I get why people would think of her as a villain, quote unquote, but it's like, please, like, she's played how I would play on Survivor 2.
You're in it first. Asher's a villain.
Oh my God. 100%. Oh my God. I cannot hold my tongue, my expressions on my face. I, like, however I'm feeling you see it on my face, I just know, like, oh my God, everyone would hate me on that beach. But, like, season 46 with, like, Q and Liz not getting picked for, like, that. Oh, that was great. We need more of that. That was so good. I love season 46, but that was so good.
Oh, so do I. So do I. Season 46 is one of my favorite of the new eras because it's just so messy. It's so messy.
We need messy. We need people who don't care about their reputations as much and not so much kumbaya. I hope everyone's feeling okay. It's Survivor. You're going to hurt someone's feelings every single time you vote. Come on.
Yep, 1,000%. Do you think this is actually interesting to talk to you about because you have such a big presence online. Do you think that people play now thinking and feeling and being concerned about how they're going to be perceived online on social media?
Yeah.
And do you think so?
Oh, without a doubt. I think there are a few people who don't feel that way who are not on the internet, and you can tell which people those are. But for the most part, people are scared of the hate that they're gonna get online, which is valid. I'm not gonna, like, that's a real issue. Like, people are insane on the internet, and people who get, you know, they get death threats for voting out the wrong person or whatever. Like, of course that's an issue, and I will never blame a contestant for worrying about that kind of stuff, but it is refreshing to have that person that just doesn't care. And I love when a person like that rolls around.
Do you think that they should cast more people who just don't have social media, like maybe like older people in there, like I don't know if you remember Chrissy from a couple of seasons ago. Was she 48
last season
a couple seasons ago, 48, and she literally does not have a social media, and I don't even think she started one. And so the whole time she didn't have a big edit, but she was just kind of like just doing her thing. And do you think that maybe they should cast more people who are just kind of off the grid?
I think that'd be really interesting. But I also think the people that should be casted should be people that are, like, very confident in who they are and have really strong personalities, because I feel like Survivor is very known for having contestants with really strong personalities, but there's also a lot of the opposite, where there's some people that you're just, like, they fit in with any group of people. And I feel like you don't want people that would fit in on Survivor. You don't. You want people that are going to stand out and make their own decisions and have their own strategies and stuff. And that's what makes a season good. Like, we had Rome was like, I did not like Rome, but he was great television, you know, because he just is his own thing. He's a big personality. And I think we need some more of those people. Honestly. Yeah. 46, for example, had a million of those people.
Yeah, 46 was like 90 of those people in one cast. And then, you know, and then they just said, you know what, let's just see what happens.
And it was great.
It was crazy. Yeah, what happened was incredible television, 10 out of 10. There was, what came on my For You page recently? It was the Banu talking about Kenzie being a mermaid dragon. And just listening to that back, I was like, is this the best confessional of all time? Is this just
mermaid,
like,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I still remember it. Like,
so memorable. It's so good. And I just genuinely was like, I know that we were all kind of down because, again, there was a disaster tribe and all that else, but I was like, man, that was a good confessional. Like, that was a really, you know, painted a picture, and she ended up being a mermaid dragon. So he nailed it on the head.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So later on in the episode, so after the reward challenge, obviously, people are split up, and we heard on the exit interview from Alex that Alex actually wished that Christina had taken, had kept her spot, that Juwan wasn't there, because he just felt like he couldn't really talk to everybody there because he wanted to strategize. But one of the main reasons why he couldn't strategize was because Savannah was there, and he felt like Savannah was somebody that they were not on the same page. So not a lot of strategy talk actually happened, it seems, at the reward challenge. There was more strategy talk later. Sophie got some information. You know, people were talking. I think they were, Sophie, I believe, was told that by Christina that they wanted to split the vote between Rizzo and Savannah. Christina telling that to Sophie. Now, granted, maybe Sophie is doing an incredible job at seeming not super tight with Rizzo and Savannah, but from the edit we're getting, it seems bonkers to me that Christina would tell her this, because I just feel like if that had, if I were her, I'd be like, yeah, she's going to run back and tell them immediately. Yeah. Did you notice that? Did you feel like Christina, is that just Sophie playing the game so well?
I think Sophie is playing a very good game, but I also do think that was just a big lapse in judgment on Christina's part. It seemed too fast. It's like, you have to, BFFR, like you just burned this girl and now you're entrusting her with like this whole new plan that's also very risky. Like, because you're dealing with idols here. Like, you really can only talk to people who you trust the most. And if Sophie's one of the people Christina trusts the most, then I think Christina is done for.
Yeah. And I also think that there's like, you know, when you are doing a split vote, it is because, like you said, there's an idol. Why are we proposing split votes before we know who has the immunity necklace? I know that you're bored and you need things to do, but the more information you put in play, the more it can come back to bite you. And while Christina is still in the game, I'm super worried that this is going to be one of the things that is going to come back to bite her, because Savannah now knows, okay, she's against me 100%. 100%. Rizzo now knows, okay, she's against me 100%. So there's no pretending here anymore, unless Christina becomes a very good actress, which I don't know any actress. I don't know. Meryl Streep might not be able to pull that off. But I just think that like there was something there. And so Sophie did run back, and immediately it looked like Savannah was back for a millisecond. And Sophie said, oh, it's you. It's you. So going into the challenge, Savannah's like, I got to win. I got to win. And she does. Because she's incredible like that. She and Daddy. Sophie literally win. And Steven also wins. If you were doing a challenge like this, what is the topic that you would bring up that would distract you? Steven's was space. What's your distracting topic?
Good question. I can go on and on about the Hunger Games. On and on. I think I'm actually just very good at yapping, if you can't tell. I love to talk. And I don't even think I talk about a certain thing. I think I would just go, my ADHD brain would just go all over the place, and I would annoy the hell out of everyone that's left. But I actually do remember in the challenge, Jeff was like, okay, Steven, that's enough. Or didn't he say, he said something like that. He's like, okay, let's get back to the chat. I thought that, I was like, if that were me, I would be so embarrassed. I'd drop out of the challenge.
I would drop out of the challenge.
Self-evict. Yeah. I'm out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do feel like, though, you know, it was very reminiscent of like Dave versus Goliath, like Christian talking about like going through the like 9-hour challenge of him just like yapping and asking Jeff, like, what kind of sandwich do you like and whatever else. I feel like that's such a good way to distract yourself. I'm also a yapper, if you cannot tell. I feel like, yeah, I need to just like let me tell you a story. Let me paint you a picture. And I don't have to think about how my abs are burning right now.
Right.
Do you think that actually helped him win the distractions?
Yes, I do. I mean, it really depends. Like when I'm working out, when I'm in the zone, I cannot talk. Like that's not, I can't do that at all. But sometimes it's great having a distraction. I'd honestly like think it'd be great if like he was talking about space and I could just like listen to that and zone out. Like maybe that's even an advantage to me if someone else was talking.
Yes. It's like you don't have headphones, you don't have music that you can play or a podcast. So instead you just have to convince somebody else to just yap for the whole time.
Yep.
Or get somebody to play the alphabet game with you or something, like pull a Q, pull a Steven, pull a Christian. I love it. And obviously Steven won. And then at the end, it was Savannah and Sophie battling it out. Savannah ended up winning yet again. Do we think that we're going to see Sophie win another immunity challenge, or is it just going to be Savannah from here on out?
I don't know. I don't think Savannah can win every single immunity till the end. So I think there's going to be a switch up soon. I would love if Sophie won another challenge, but then I'd be scared for Savannah. I don't want Savannah to get out. So I don't know, but it would be interesting too, because then people could finally do the split vote between Savannah.
They've been wanting to do so much.
Yeah.
They've been clamoring for that.
And I do want to give a lot of credit to Savannah and Rizzo, because the only reason I feel like that Rizzo is still able to keep his idol is because Savannah keeps winning immunity. Mm-hmm. So that way you just get one of them off. You know, you can't even vote for one of them. So now it's like, okay, all the votes are going to go on Rizzo now. I guess, well, good luck with us. But if you had Savannah and Rizzo on the table, like, then it'd be a lot more interesting.
It'd be a lot more interesting. I do think it's really interesting that people are not willing to do a split vote with the name that ends up coming up. So for example, like the episode before, it was MC. Why didn't we see like a 3-2 vote? You know, 3 on Rizzo, 2 on MC, because, you know, worst case scenario, it's a tie and Rizzo, you know, the person that you were going to vote out anyway, goes home.
Right.
And then this episode, same thing. Like we saw a landslide on Alex, except for the people who didn't vote for Alex were Alex. Alex voted for Rizzo. And then Christina and Savannah both voted for Soph. Sophie with an I. But still, so a landslide on Alex, why wouldn't we, that's enough numbers to split. Like, why do you think that they're not splitting to either get Rizzo out or get out the idol? Is it because they're afraid maybe of Savannah and Rizzo?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'd have to be there. Like, I feel like it is really scary dealing with an idol. You don't want to be the one that the idol, you know, it lands on you and you're the one that gets out. So I think it's just fear, but it's like, you can't play with fear right now. Like, it's near the end of the game. And now, unfortunately, they have the power again. I don't even know how. Like, they have the power. And you are going to get voted out.
Yeah.
So, and it's no one's fault but your own. You have to be fearless and you do have to take risks.
Exactly. And you know, I will also say, all of this being said, Rizzo is doing an incredible job. It seemed like this whole vote was whipped by Rizzo. It seemed like Rizzo was the one who threw out Alex's name. And then he is the one who is planting these like little seeds of information into everybody else's mind. Oh, I think Alex is playing the middle. Like, oh, I think blah, 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 blah. And Jawan and Sage. And I even feel like Christina at one point, like everyone was feeling like, oh yeah, is Alex loyal to all, loyal to none? Is that really truly what Alex is? And I think that we got a masterclass on how to kind of inception a vote out against one person that you want out. Do you also think that Rizzo, I mean, I think you said it earlier, Rizzo is playing a really great game. Do you think he's going to be able to like ride this to the end?
Yeah, I mean, people listen to what he says. Mm-hmm. Multiple times it's happened now. People do listen to him, and he has great persuasive skills. So that is going to help him tremendously in the game. And I mean, twice in a row now, he's gotten the numbers behind him. So it's very easy to follow him for a third time. Because he says what he's honest. I mean, he did lie a lot about Alex, but like he said, oh, I'm going to vote Alex. He's voted Alex. And I feel like he hasn't really had an episode where it's like, oh, I'm going to vote this person. And then he doesn't vote someone else. So I feel like if you're on the right side of Rizzo, like he's easy to trust maybe. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are also kind of listening to him, but it is very impressive to watch.
And I will also say like, yeah, he was saying some like not truthful things about Alex, but they all started with a kernel of truth. Like he used the information, whatever Alex said, he would use that to be like, okay, this lie is going to start with the seed of truth and then it's going to grow. And I'm going to add a little bit of water of embellishment and a little bit of, you know, whatever here. And I think that is exactly what people need to do. You can't just outright lie because then people are talking, you know, when Alex left, he goes, everyone else talks. I guess I can't play the middle or whatever. People do talk and people are going to fact check. And as long as there's that like kernel of truth, it really helps your argument. And so I loved what we saw from Rizzo this last episode.
Yeah. When I played like the Survivor on Instagram and Zoom and stuff, that was my strategy a lot. That was like what I would do. I would like, someone would like go off to like whisper to somebody else. And I'd be like, oh my God, those two are like working together. They talked after the challenge. And then it's true. They did. It couldn't prove what they talked about, but. You know, I thought
I love
watching that.
See, you need to be on the show. It's just like an agent of chaos in a good way. Listen, I love that.
Listen, the Survivor gods, like I've been applying. Let's see. I don't know.
So there was that influencer trip at the beginning of the year. Would you have gone on that or are you trying to save yourself for the real thing?
So I didn't even know about the trip until people were already there. And it was sad too, because I have friends that were on the trip. So like, I like found out about it like right after. I was like, no, but I think the silver lining is like, I would much rather be on the actual show. Mm-hmm. So if I was on the trip and then I wasn't on the show, like I would not have done the trip, you know? And it's the same for like other reality TV shows. Like I won't go on any other reality show. Cause I, as much as I would love to, Survivor is like what I need. Like, it's literally my calling. Like, I need to be on it so bad.
And that's what they love. I think they don't really care. They'll get other people who have applied, like Sage applied to Big Brother, Alex applied to Big Brother. Like they'll do that. I think that Alex got kind of far through Big Brother casting. I think there was somebody else too. Maybe Steven.
Interesting. Okay.
Sage was actually cast though. I think Sage was like an alternate or something. Like she went the furthest in Big Brother casting, I think for Big Brother 25. So like pretty kind of crazy. I think there were like three or four people from this cast that were like either alternates or made it far in the Big Brother casting. And I feel like I can kind of see it. I can kind of see Sage absolutely playing Big Brother. Steven, I don't know. I feel like Steven gives more Survivor to me. Alex, I feel like I could see both.
I think Christina gives me Big Brother vibes too.
I would love to see Christina on Big Brother.
Yeah.
Because she kind of has like a bleeding heart, but then also kind of is ruthless in a way. I feel like she'd be a really interesting person to see on Big Brother. I wonder, Casper. No. But I think, you know, I think that you're gonna get on Survivor one day. I genuinely believe it. I think we're manifesting it.
You want to be on Survivor or no?
I used to.
Oh, really? You don't want to be on anymore?
I don't know. I feel like it would have to be kind of the perfect circumstance for me. Because okay. I do feel like I have built everything on this one show. And if I go on the show, and not saying that people get voted out early or bad at Survivor, I think they just had bad circumstances. But the public, I think, kind of views that in a different way. And I don't know if I'm kind of right now a sideline football reporter who has never actually played football or, you know, probably, you know, whatever. But it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. And then if I go on the show and I get, you know, first boot and then I try to talk about what I was talking about, I don't know if people would
get it.
You know,
That makes sense.
I have thought about applying to the Traitors. I think it might be too late now, but I feel like so the Traitors is the one other reality TV show other than The Amazing Race that I feel like I would actually like to go on.
I could see that for you. I know this is off topic. I'm so sorry. But I played Traitors with a bunch of YouTubers before. It was a dream come true. My friend rented out a mansion. We had a whole camera crew challenges. It was like a 13-hour day. And we played Traitors with a bunch of YouTubers. And I did win.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. Wait, is that on YouTube? Can we watch
it? It is on YouTube. Yeah, episodes 1-3. It's called Carter's Mafia, if anyone wants to watch it.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Yeah. I just spoiled it. But oh, well.
Who cares?
I was the Traitor.
We get to celebrate you. So that's awesome. Wow, that's so cool. Traitors are so fun.
It was so fun.
I am excited for that season. But you know, Survivor still has a little bit left in it. So I do also want to talk about Christina and Steven being a tight alliance that they are. Is that something that is now, like, you know, we talked about, you know, them talking about wanting to split on Savannah and Rizzo and all of that stuff and then telling all of the wrong people. Is that tight alliance or that tighter duo any at all like threatening right now? Because we have some other tight duos such as Savannah and Sophie, such as Juwan and Sage. Like, are duos like threatening, do you think?
I think in this season there are a lot of duos. And I think that duo is in trouble just because they kind of have less social like influence right now. So I think that everyone else is going to perceive them as like, oh, we have to get rid of this duo. But then like, if you actually think about it, they like everyone's in a duo pretty much, or like even a trio. Like I feel like Sophie, Savannah and Rizzo are like literally a trio. And so if people are smart, like you got to split that up. But I think that that duo is screwed. I think one of the two is next. And then if not, the ones after that.
Yeah. I think you're totally right. And I think that there's also like, you know, we are seeing like people really connecting. And obviously on paper, Savannah and Rizzo, that's the duo. But what we're really seeing like in actuality, it seems more that Sophie with an I and Savannah are the duo. Because also this episode, we saw Sophie and Savannah talk about, like Savannah told her that she was a reporter, which is something that she's been keeping secret this whole time. Yeah. And she said she hasn't even told Rizzo. I think that's a really interesting thing to tell Sophie now, because again, on paper, she and Rizzo are the tight duo, and Savannah saying, hey, you know, I'm not even telling what looks like my number one here, this information to Sophie. Is that now like an unbreakable bond between Sophie and Savannah? Or do you think that is just kind of a nice thing on paper, but doesn't actually mean that much?
I mean, not to be like a Savannah hater, cause I'll never, but like, being like an undercover journalist, I don't think is like as tea as like she thought it was. Not to ever like come, you know, talk down on her because I'm obsessed with her. But like, if I were Sophie, I'd be like, okay, like that doesn't really mean much. But in the principle of the matter, it does mean a lot because it is a secret that she hasn't told anybody else. So I would feel connected to it, but I wouldn't I wouldn't think that like, oh, this information is like super, super important. Like you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, I feel like everyone hiding their jobs, like I don't really care anymore. Everyone does it. It's like, okay, I don't care.
I am not a hater. I am like, you know, the opposite of a hater. I'm a lover. I love a lot of things. I try to bring optimism back to the Survivor fandom.
I am too.
You know, all that stuff. But if there is one thing that I'm a hater about, it is lying about your job. I do not think that. Like, I think that genuinely, if Nate had not kept his job a secret, he might still be in the game. I think that Juwan would have died for that man. Juwan known.
Right.
And Juwan didn't know. So, and Nate even said in his exit interview that like, you know, he regrets it. But then you see people like Kyle, and then you see people like Ashley who lie about being a lawyer and then win their respective game. So, you know, well, who am I to judge? What am I to say? But like, you know,
I think, yeah, I mean, going back to what you asked, though, I feel like the principle of the matter is like, okay, now they're the tightest bond, like, because Savannah clearly was like doing this intentionally. Sophie knows, like, okay, I'm the only person that knows this. I have all my trust in Savannah, but Savannah also has a really close relationship with Rizzo too. So I think Savannah wins in this scenario because she has both of them now. I think it was very smart of Savannah to do that.
She feels like how D played. Like, D had multiple number ones, and she was able to cultivate really specific relationships with her number ones, like Julie and Austin, and she was really close with Drew and all of these things. And I think that we're seeing that with Savannah. She's able to cultivate specific relationships. Yep. Like, the relationship is different for each person, which I think is a very hard thing to do.
Yes,
and I think that is why, like, she's able to really have this deeper connection with you know, Rizzo and Sophie. Yeah. And I do think that she, in this world, has two number ones, kind of. Yeah. I know it's kind of weird, but I do think that she has them.
Yeah, it's great, great, great gameplay.
So I agree.
The fact that she said that is very, very smart. Yeah.
I did have a question. So when I was rewatching the episode, when there are too many S names, and I will...
Sage, Shannon, Sophie, Steven, Savannah. Bob,
yeah. I love them all, but too many
Steven, S's. Oh my God.
And they're all still in the game, which is crazy. Right. I was like, I didn't want any of them to go, but I was like, if two S names go before the merge, I'm not going to be mad about it.
Right, right.
But when we had Christina, and I believe it was Steven, speaking with Sophie with an E, so Yellow Sophie, she told them the Rizzo plan. She was like, we're going to split on Soph and Rizzo. That was after the challenge, after Savannah won. Part of me believes, so I want to give you my little theory here and see how you feel about this. Part of me believes, and I love Rizzo. I think he's incredible, amazing. Part of me worries that the reason why Rizzo still has an idol in the game is a little bit like a Xander effect, where we, the audience, are seeing this person play a really interesting, great game. And we're like, why are they letting him do this? Like, what is going on? And then we find out after the season that the people on the island didn't actually see or respect that game. And because maybe the game was only via confessionals and we were seeing the whole thing or whatever else. I worry that that's what we're getting with Rizzo. Because I think that, so my question is, with that with my theory, part of me watching this back, Christina and Steven, they were seeing Sophie with an E get closer and closer to Sophie, Savannah, and Rizzo. So part of me wonders if a Rizzo plan is now just kind of like the fake plan that you tell everybody, because Rizzo is maybe somebody that people want to sit next to at final. I mean, and I have no proof of this. This is just my kind of, you know, cockeyed theory. But maybe that's somebody that they want to sit next to Rizzo. So they don't actually need Rizzo out. And they would rather Rizzo have the idol than maybe like a quote unquote real threat like Savannah or either of the Sophies or whatever. Do you think that's at all feasible? Do you think that theory has legs at all?
Yeah, definitely. It is interesting though, because I haven't heard, usually when that's the case, you'll hear like, oh, this duo, so-and-so is the leader and so-and-so is the follower. I don't think we've heard anyone be like, oh, Rizzo's just following what Savannah does. So maybe it's just left out of the edit. I don't know. But like, if we were hearing that, then I would definitely be like, oh, 100% agree with you. But I could 100% also see, like, I think your theory definitely has legs, but I'm not like fully convinced on that, just because I feel like the perception isn't that Rizzo is like worse than anyone else.
I'm not really fully convinced about it either. Like, it's my own theory, and I don't know that I really believe it, but it makes other things make sense. Like why they let him have an idol, like why they let, you know, whatever else.
It is weird. Why does he have an idol still?
But we have a comment here from Daryl Seymour saying, because on Alex's exit interview, it sounds like people did view Rizzo as a good game player, because Alex said that people wanted to play with Rizzo because they liked him as a player. So, you know, again, it is a tinfoil hat theory that I have, but, you know, it's, you got to have theories to get
let's see if you're right. I'm all for it.
Do you have any crazy theories about this season? Do you think that, like, any crazy theories about anybody or, you know, why people are getting any edits they're getting or anything like that?
For a while, I was like, I could see Sage winning for a while. But I feel like it's going down for a little bit. Oh my God, I love Sage. I also, Sage should not be in top eight. Like, no hate to Sage. I love her so much. But like it is really, I'm like, wow. And not only that, she's leading the, I mean, she led the first 2-3 votes, like, of the merge. So I am obsessed with that. But like on paper, Sage is usually like one of the first boots. She's like the one with the personality that like is there to make great TV, which I'm obsessed with. Why, like, she's still in, like, thank God they did something right. But there was a second there, I'm like, wow, Sage, like, I could see you winning this.
Those, you know, we only hear about people getting swap screwed. We rarely hear about people getting, like, swap saved. And I think Sage is somebody who was swap saved.
Oh, 100%. And she did play that very good with Shannon, though. She played it so well. Very, very well. I was very impressed with that.
So impressed. Yeah. And speaking of Sage, you know, we're, like I said earlier, we see Juwan and Sage as a tight duo. Is there any world in which we could have seen people go for Juwan and Sage? Like, could we have seen Alex, after he knew his name was being thrown out by Rizzo, go up to Rizzo and be like, hey, I know my name is out there. That's totally fine. You want to know who told me? It was Juwan and Sage. And that's because they're the ones who are actually in the middle. Mm-hmm. Do you think we could have seen that, or we should have seen that?
I do think that is definitely feasible. But I question if that would be more likely than them voting out like a Steven or Christina. Because I still feel like Savannah and Rizzo have that connection from the Red Tribe with those two. Mm. And Sage and Juwan are doing a very good job playing the middle, I guess. Like, they are doing a good job. They're still trustworthy somehow to both sides. And that's all credit to them. So I think that it was more likely that the vote would have flipped to like Steven or Christina rather than Sage or Juwan.
Yeah, I totally, I think that you're probably right, but I just want somebody to do that. I want somebody to be crazy and be like, if you're throwing my name out, I'm going to figure out a way to, you know, get it on anybody else. I just really want somebody to go and be like, hey man, I know it. And you can tell me whatever you want right now, but this is what I'm going to tell you. The person who told me is XYZ. And I think that would be so good. I would love it. I just want to like sink my teeth into that.
I love, like, honestly, I love, like, a little snitch game. Like, yes. It's messy. It's kind of, sometimes it's not fun. But, like, at the end of the day, like, it does cause chaos. And I would do it, too. Like, hey, if my butt's on the line, I will snitch.
Sandra Diaz Twine won twice because anybody but
snitching.
Me.
Right.
Anybody but me.
Great at snitching. Great at snitching. And it works.
And we love that. And we love that for her. Yep. We love that for her. Now, I do want to get your, you know, opinion and your idea about what we're going to be seeing the next episode. So, you know, I told you, we saw on a commercial, like, Rizzo bawling his eyes out, Christina freaking out at a Matt chat, you know, so there's clearly some chaos going on. And then we also see, like we talked about earlier, you know, Sophie telling Steven to his face, you're good, we're good, I know you wrote my name down, but I don't care. And then she goes to the camera, I care, I hate him, we're going for him. And then we also hear that group, Sophie, Savannah, and Rizzo throwing Steven's name out. But then we also now know that Juwan and Sage both know about Christina's idol. So all of that being said, what do you feel like the next episode has in store for us? Obviously some drama, but who do you think could be going home and why?
I think Steven is probably the one going home, but that also would be a little obvious. And what I think could happen as well is Sage and Juwan knowing about Christina's idol and also still being kind of good with Savannah and, you know, so both Sophie's and Rizzo. Like, let's say the four of them come up with a plan to vote out like Steven or Christina. I could see Sage and Juwan coming together and telling, you know, Christina and Steven, hey, this is who the votes are going for. Let's finally boot one of the four. So I could see that happening. I think this episode is all up to Sage and Juwan, how they deal with the idols and how they deal with the information. I think this could be a great episode for them, or they could fumble majorly. Steven's the easy vote, I think.
I think Steven is the easy vote, which is crazy because two episodes ago, I did not think that Steven
could
be
the top.
He was exactly. And I do think that, like, this is kind, like you said, exactly the kind of make or break moment for Sage and Juwan. Yeah. Are they able to kind of use this information? Are they able to make it so that they are the ones, the arbiters of what happens? Or is it all going to be, you know, landing on Rizzo, Sophie, and Savannah's shoulders, which I could absolutely see also.
Yeah.
I also would be really interested to see, because we are at eight people now, right? So they technically, Sophie, Savannah, and Rizzo do not need anybody else because Savannah does have that extra vote.
You're right. I didn't think of that.
Do you think they even care what anybody else thinks, or and they just go for whomever they want?
I think it's still, I think, like, if you're them, it's like, I don't want to use my extra vote right now. I'm going to still try. And also, like, you're on that island, like, Sage and Juwan are going to come up to you and be like, hey, who are we voting? Like, right. That's going to happen. So mm-hmm. I don't know if it's even worth, I think it might be still too risky to be like, hey, like, I'm not going to even, we're not going to even talk mm-hmm. to the other four. We're going to do whatever we want.
Here's the thing. If Sage and Juwan, because I do feel like they were very clearly a duo that seemed to hold a lot of power and a lot of people saw that they held a lot of power. Is that somebody at eight? Like, do you want, you know, what is it? 1/4 of the people left in the game to hold all of this power? Like, I feel like that is the time where you don't want two people to be able to sway what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they even could necessarily because it's really 2-2 and then 4, it seems. But mm-hmm. I just don't know, like, do you risk bringing them in? I worry about that.
Yeah. Well, if you're Savannah, Rizzo, and the Sophies, you don't know about Christina's idol. Mm-hmm. So the risk for them, I think, in their heads is not as great as what we know. Because Christina's idol is a real threat. It's a real problem.
It is a real problem.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be a good episode. I'm excited to see it.
I am really excited to see it, too. Yeah. I feel like this – I you know – a lot of people on the internet are mad at me because I'm saying I like this season. And you know what? If they're mad at me for, you know, again, being a lover, that's not something that bothers me. But I do think, like, again, the last three episodes were so good and on the up and up. And I think that this next episode, I think, is going to continue because I just don't actually have a good picture of what's going to happen. Because it really could be a lot of different things could happen. Does knowledge of power come into play? Do they not bring anybody in? Do both idols get played? Like, I feel like there's so much that could happen. I did just notice his comment that I think needs to be addressed. Derek says Ash needs to get cast on Survivor. He would bring personality and looks. Agreed.
Well, thanks, Derek. Agreed. That actually made my night. Thank you. I agree.
Now, I would love to hear. So you said it was going to be, you think it's going to be, what's his name? Steven that goes home mm-hmm. next. Do you have like a winner pick of the season? Do you think that you have a feeling who's going to win?
Like, I mean, I think Savannah wins. I mm-hmm. do. She's getting so much content. And she's taking over the season. She has been for several episodes now. She's been the main focus, I think.
Yep.
Everyone has her name in their mouth. And if she can make it to the end, I think she is easy. Everyone will vote for her, I think. I would also love if Savannah won. But I would love if Sophie win too. Blue Sophie. I think
that there are a lot of people.
Her story is incredible. That's what I'm saying. I do like the season too. Sorry if people are going to hate me for that also, because I am rooting for a lot of the people left. And I think they'd be great winners. Whereas last season, okay. So we'll talk about last season. I was not happy last season when that was airing. It actually like made my mood worse watching that season. Like the month Survivor was on, I was just, the pre-merge was so good though. And then it just, oof.
Imagine last season's pre-merge and this season's post-merge.
Oh, right. Perfect season. Oh, my God. It'd be so good.
But it's the perfect season.
We were destined for, you know, a hiccup in the road after we got 45, 46, and 47, and I liked all three of those.
Yep. So. I agree. Now, is there anything else from this episode that you think or going into this, you know, episode in 2 days that you want to talk about that we hadn't discussed yet, that we didn't touch upon?
No, I think it's going to be interesting to see how Blue Sophie navigates her relationship with Savannah and Rizzo, because she's very smart and I know she knows that she might not be able to beat them. Mm-hmm. So I want to see what that's going to look like, if she's going to turn on them or not, because right now we're not getting any inkling that that's going to happen.
No. So, and even this episode, she did even say this episode, that she wanted to go final three with them. And that makes mm-hmm. me worry. For a moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's because, but I can't even blame her, because I feel like I would be a loyal player too, but then I would be the best out of my alliance though. That was my
of course.
I
would be, of course.
You know, but yeah, it is. It's going to be interesting to see, because she does have a story. She, you know. Yeah.
And also to her credit, we'll like see. Playing a loyal game here from her perspective, she's played the most Survivor out of anybody here. Nobody had to go to tribal council until what, five five episodes in where
she
had to go
to five in a row, right?
Yeah. Or yeah. Like, she went to every single tribal council until the one right before the merge.
Right. It's crazy.
It's crazy. So like from her perspective, she has played the most Survivor and right. she has the most story to tell because
right.
of that.
I hope she's not banking on that as her only thing. Well, not that she's not done anything else. She's right. done a great job. Her name doesn't really come up until last episode, but it was weird too, because people were like, I guess we'll vote for Sophie if we don't want to vote for anyone else. But like people didn't even like, people didn't even want to do that. Like,
yeah.
She's playing a great social game too, but I want to see what she does handling the end game with, if she makes it there with Savannah and Rizzo.
I totally agree. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. We have one last thing that we have to do, and it's the all coveted, the all talked about Alley-Oop Award. For those who don't know, the Alley-Oop Award is the award, again, the best award anyone can get if they go on Survivor. Basically, they're setting themselves up. Who we think is setting themselves up the best for the next episode? And I think that there are some good contenders for this week, but I'll let you start about what you're thinking about, who you're thinking about here.
I think, given everything that I've said tonight, I think Sage can have a great episode if they navigate the idol information correctly. I think mm-hmm. Sage can have a complete breakout episode and really like make herself as like a, ooh, this girl, she could win. We need to take her out right now. But if not her, I think I would love to see another Savannah or Rizzo or Sophie do really well. Again.
Yeah.
I do love that trio.
I do too. So. I do too. I think Sage is a really interesting poll because I think you're kind of right. I think that she is the one who has the most, I mean, she has the same information that Steven has, but she's the one that can do
more with it.
More with that information. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's a really interesting one that I was not thinking. I was thinking of Sophie with an E only uh-huh. because she kind of jumped ship from Hina.
Yeah.
And went over to the group that I think is going to actually serve her a lot better. Do I think she's on the bottom of that, you know, four? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
But I still think that it was a really smart move for her because mm-hmm. I do not think that she would have lasted long without making those connections. I like the Sage a lot.
I think Sophie too, though, now that you say that, but her edit is just so confusing to me. And like, I pay attention to that stuff and her edit is just like, why did she not get content? She's great in confessionals, great at strategy, great at challenges. What's going on? Why was she not in the beginning of the season? I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree. It was, that was all very confusing because also like, apparently talking to some other like players, she was one of the people who like was very often talked to at the mat by Jeff.
Okay.
So it wasn't like she just wasn't talking. She was actually talking a lot. And, they just, I think, cut out a lot of the information. I don't know.
The only thing that confuses me with her is her edit. Yeah. I just don't get it. Because she's great. But her trajectory has been going up.
On the up and
so
up.
I could see her Sage next episode doing something great.
Incredible. This was such a blast. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting about Survivor. I love talking to players, but I love even more talking to super fans because I feel like we're just kind of like, going through all of our crazy theories and I love it so much. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course,
this.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime to talk about Survivor, I'm there. So I'm happy to be back whenever.
I always at the end ask people to plug their socials, but I think pretty much everyone knows where to follow you. It's Stinky Asher. what are your go-to platforms?
TikTok and Instagram. I'm on YouTube too. I play actually a lot of Total Drama Roblox on YouTube, which is kind of
so
like
cool.
Survivor on Roblox. That's like mostly my content there. So, but that's what, wherever. Instagram probably is the best.
Fabulous. And everybody, make sure to, if you're not already a Patreon or patron of the specialists, we have a TEG Talks coming out tomorrow. I'm actually not sure which one it is, but we do a lot of really fun things there. We do brand steals. We talk about our hot takes. We do a really, really fun draft. So go check out the weekly TEG Talk coming out tomorrow. And then again, we are poised to have some really, really fun interviews and talks next week. I know last week I said Jake was going to be on this week. He's going to be on next week. So Jake O'Kane on the show next week, Matt Chat
awesome.
Next week. So make sure to check that out. But Asher, thank you again so much for joining us. And I hope everyone has a wonderful evening.
Yep. Thank you so much. Thanks for everyone for watching.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.